Welcome back to the Even If podcast. I'm Kinsey.
And I'm Sarah. And today's episode is all about female friendships. So we are going to dive right in.
Yeah, girl.
And talk about female friendships. And we wanted to start with, what does the Bible say about friendships? And so we wanted to open up with Proverbs 27:17, which says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another.
I love that verse.
I love that verse too. And I think there's a lot about friendship and stories about friends within the Bible, but that's such a great verse and thinking about what good godly friendships are like. And I think you are that for me.
You're that for me.
Of just like sharpening me. Like I think about our friendship and how it's first of all changed so much throughout the years.
Yeah.
Of knowing each other.
Yeah.
But how you have been somebody who has truly sharpened me in so many ways, in business and life and my relationship with the Lord and how I have relationships with men.
Ditto.
And I think that's so cool how the Lord gives us people to do that with.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I think female friendships is, and for me, my female friendships are outside of my relationship with Jesus, like the most important thing in my life. And I don't know what I did. I know I don't deserve it, but I would say I have the best female friendships. Mm-hmm. And you are right there, like top of that list, because I am just also just so grateful for the way that the Lord has, we were just talking about this before we started recording, just our friendship over the years. We met when we were what, 26, 25? I was 26, you were 25, I think,
yeah,
something like that.
26.
So yeah. It's been 8 years of friendship, and now we've gone through just like working together.
Which that's, yeah, I think our story's even fun. And we shared a little bit about it on episode one, but we started as coworkers.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I remember, were you part of my interview process?
I think so. I think I remember
Olivia and Michelle.
Yeah.
Which is hilarious that the girls who interviewed me became some of my best friends.
Yeah. It's so wild.
But yeah, I think you were part of it. I remember emailing you to like set up my
interview
or whatever it was.
Yep.
So yeah, we started as just kind of formal coworkers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, as formal as you and I
get. Yeah, as formal. When we were once upon a time in the corporate world.
And yeah, what did that friendship started as? Yeah, coworkers we were both assistants serving team lead, like a leader.
Yep.
And so I think we did like work emails back and forth. And then it turned into, how are you?
Like,
oh, do you want to hang out outside of work?
Yeah.
And sharing books and fun things with each other, talking about boys, giggling under our desks.
Mm-hmm. Literally.
Yeah. And then our friendship honestly kind of changed after that. I mean, we were close for a while. Mm-hmm. Like I remember going and laying out at the pool with you and doing dinners and things in groups.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like our friendship, when you left that job, I left shortly after, a couple months after too. I think we both were there about the same time.
Yep.
And we kind of stopped talking.
Yeah. I think it's interesting when you do daily life with people and you see them every day and then you don't.
Mm-hmm.
It's really easy to, well, it's just probably also pretty common to just not talk every day unless you're making like an exuberant effort.
Yeah, you have to be intentional.
And you have to be really intentional.
Mm-hmm.
And we were in our, late 20s at that point, or like mid 20s. So yeah, we just, nothing bad happened. We just kind of stopped talking. You moved to Colorado.
Yeah, I left that job and moved to Colorado, and you had just started Full Ride.
Yep.
And so I think we were kind of just both doing our own thing, and it's not like anything happened. We just moved on.
Yep.
And we're doing other things, and our attention was elsewhere. I remember still, like, obviously we would message back and forth occasionally, like through social media, but I don't think we kept up a ton in that season.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
Right?
No, I don't think so. And then I don't know, I see a lot of, all I see is really black. I think I blacked out a couple years of my life. COVID.
What happened there?
Starting a business. But I do remember I moved to Austin, you moved to Charleston, and we would DM each other. We would text each other sometimes about, like, honestly, our relationships that we were in at the time.
Yeah. Which is so funny. Which is that
so interesting.
We wanted to do that. I think it's probably because when we were working together, we talked so much about relationships that if you ever saw me post something, you would text me and be like, who's this guy?
Yep.
Or what's this about?
Yep.
And I think we would always talk about how we're praying for each other on our single girls list.
Yep. Yes.
And I was like, you're on my list. And I would just do that. I need to do it again. It's been a little while, but I would write a list of the single girls I'm praying for. Mm. And you were always on that list for years, which is funny.
You would tell me that.
I think we
so
just
sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it wasn't until we started texting about me moving back to Nashville and starting a podcast together that our friendship took another turn.
Yep.
And we got closer.
Yeah. So close. And honestly, I told Sarah this last week, but truly one of, if not the best gift God gave me in 2024 was Sarah, because not only having her back, but also just having her in a season that is so similar. Like, we're both walking in singleness in our 30s, loving the Lord deeply, chasing after him. We love our lives. We're close with our family now. We both live close to our families. So, and we have both friends that are married with kids and friends that are married, and we have women that we're leading in singleness. And yeah, it's just, it's so just, you feel, I feel so held to have you and to walk through things with you.
Such
and
a gift.
It's been such a gift. Like, and to know that God is that good and that kind to be like, here's someone that you already trust, that you already love. You're going to do this podcast together where you're going to use the things that I've walked through with you to help other women. And then in the process, this is going to hold you, you know, through your singleness, because we don't, it's very rare to have women that have the same values, that love the same things that you do, that have the same like humor, have so much fun together, love Jesus the way we do, and we're both single still.
I know.
Because it does look very different when your friends are married, because it just does. Their lives are just different.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, to have somebody too that's like, you're not 28 and single and talking about how hard it is.
Exactly.
Even though I know that is hard because I was 28 and it was hard, but to be in your 30s and still feel this is such a gift that our lives are parallel right now.
Yes.
And it's like, I also think we found each other in that though. You know, it didn't just like happen.
No.
I think because of probably our circumstances is what led us to together, and then we just became closer because of where we're at and our intentionality of spending time together and wanting that. But it's like, yeah, there are times where I have longed for this friendship or something like that. Like, I remember when I first moved to Charleston, I knew nobody there, and I prayed on my prayer list. I was like, my number one thing is that I want one girlfriend to be close with. And within my first couple months there, I met a girl. We were at a concert. She was the exact same age as me.
Wow.
Both 30, both single. She talked about the church she went to. We talked about surfing.
Wow.
We talked about skating. We were both wearing Vans. We both like were at this like indie concert, which is honestly so not me.
Yeah, but I was like, wait, what?
Yeah, I don't know. But we were there and just like had so much in common.
I love
and
that.
Hit
is that
it
summer?
Off. It was Logan.
Logan.
Summer I already knew from childhood.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sorry.
But this is Logan. And she and I just hit it off and instantly became friends. And funny how the Lord used our story. A year later, I was her roommate and we were living together and going through a relationship together and breakup. And it was just like, she was the biggest answer prayer that I had in Charleston.
Yeah.
I was like, I want one close, really, really close, godly, single girlfriend.
Yep.
And she was that.
Oh.
And it's like, then I came back here and I was literally praying that same prayer.
Mm.
And I didn't even have you in mind.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't even have anybody in mind. I just was like, Lord, I want this. I want this. I want this. And then you came out of nowhere.
Mm.
And I was like, that is the answered prayer of having that.
Yeah.
And so how cool that in his timing, he orchestrates that to bring people together for that.
I love that. And I think, honestly, I will say to all the ladies listening, you guys prioritize your female friendships, whether you're single, whether you're dating, whether you're engaged or married. Like, you need your girls. You need your girls. And so having Sarah has been the greatest gift, being back in Nashville and walking through primarily singleness and just where our hearts are at and our longs to be. We both want to be moms so badly. And so we get to hold each other in that and encourage each other in that. And it's been such a freaking gift.
Such a gift. How would you say female friendships have shaped your faith?
Well, I mean, honestly, my female friendships in college led me to faith. and then have sustained me and just have taught me. Like truly the hands and feet of Jesus have been the women in my life. And they've not only led me to faith, but they've shaped me in every single way. I can't imagine my life without my girlfriends. And I have been so blessed to have godly women in my life that are, I don't know how old she is. I swear she's like Benjamin Button. She doesn't age. She's like maybe late 60s, maybe 70 by now, but she looks the same every time I see her.
Aww.
But she was the one that kind of led me to talk to me about Jesus when I was really, really young. And then I have like a spiritual mentor right now. I call her my spiritual mentor, but she's like my life coach. Mm. She's in her 40s. Yes. And then I have friends that are, you know, married with three kids. Mm-hmm. And those friendships look very different than like my friendship with you or my best friend in Austin, Kenna, because they have husbands and kids and all those things. But in the ways that they've shaped me, they've just shown me Jesus. And I will forever, like, honestly owe my salvation to the way that they were that vessel for the Lord. Mm-hmm. And they continue to be that. And I continue to want to dive deeper with those people. And I find myself really attracted to those kinds of friendships. Like, that's what I want. Because I want to surround myself with people that I want to become like.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. And well, it's the old thing. You know, you're a product of the five people you surround yourself with.
Yep. Yep. So they've just helped me become like Jesus. And it's been really cool too. Like the friends that are married, I get to watch them be wives and learn from them. Mm-hmm. The friends that are mothers, I get to, there's one of my close girlfriends in Austin, Brogan. She's like, I mean, all of us look to her. She's in Lauren's MC group.
I feel like I know her. I've never met her.
She's the best. She's just the best. But I look at her and I'm like, I want to be that kind of wife and I want to be that kind of mother.
Yeah.
And so I think like as hard as it can be when you are single and be in a different season of life than the friends that are married, because you just have to have different expectations on those friends. They don't have capacity to love you and to be there for you in the ways that you're single girls. And that's why you have the singles. But you've got to have to level out those expectations because it's just not fair to put anything on them. But I am so blessed to be able to look at that. So yeah, I guess the way that my friendships have shaped my faith is they led me to faith and then they continue to make me want to be more like Jesus in every way. It's my friends. It's my girlfriends. I feel so blessed.
Yeah.
How is it? Okay. I have a question for you because this is something that I wouldn't say I struggle with, but it's top of mind and things that I kind of wonder, but how is it for you with your friends who are not believers?
I'm just staring at your bracelet. That is so pretty.
Oh, you want to know the story behind this?
Yeah.
The butterfly?
Yeah.
Okay. So
I'm sorry.
No.
It was so beautiful. She has this beautiful gold dainty bracelet with a butterfly on it.
Okay. So when I actually last February, I wonder if it's around this time. No, I think it was end of February. So I flew back to get my car from Austin and it was like maybe a month after my brutal breakup.
Yeah.
And I was going back to Austin for the first time. I was like just pretty fragile still and like trying to, I was just really anxious to go back. Mm-hmm. And I was packing up my car and I had a couple hours. I think Kenna was at the hospital or something. So I was just like kind of going around the city doing some errands, picking up some things. And I was like, I want to go treat myself to this bracelet at this store that I loved. And so I went by myself and I went and got this bracelet and the butterfly was just, I was truly like a little caterpillar at the time, like so broken and healing and lost and just kind of like, okay, Lord, I'm packing up my car and driving back to Nashville, having no idea where my life is going.
Yeah.
And,
bracelet.
Like remember going in and put this bracelet on and then walked out. And I just felt so like, okay, Lord, I have no idea what is in store for me in any way, but I'm trusting you. And then the next day, Ken and I got in my car and drove back to Nashville from Austin with my car full of my belongings.
And look how you're flying now, you little butterfly.
Yeah, I'm a little butterfly now. Literally never been happier. So,
so sweet. Yeah. Okay. It's so beautiful.
Thank you.
Sorry, I got distracted.
No, it's a great question. Thank you.
Pretty.
It's a good reminder.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great question. So you were saying, how are my friends with?
Yeah. How is it for you with friends who are not believers? And how do you navigate moments when your values or beliefs differ from those of your friends who are maintaining a strong relationship with the Lord?
I think it's so, oh my gosh. I mean, I have so much to say about this, but I think my childhood friends were all raised very similarly to me, Christians. Those girls I'm literally still friends with today. We had this group, we called ourselves the Core Four.
Oh, I love
Brittany, Anna, and Jacqueline. And they're still three of my best friends today, which is so sweet. And we've known each other since elementary, middle school.
That's precious.
So sweet. And so I think those girls have always kind of been like the Core Four. Like they're my staple girls. They've known me since I was a child. And so to have that is really, really special. And they're kind of girls I can fall back to. I can always go to. They're always there. They know my family. They know my brothers. They know everything. They know every guy I've ever dated. You know, they just know it all. And then I think high school, I had a lot of great Christian friends. I think the first time I remember being like, wow, I don't have really any believers in my life. I had, well, moving to Colorado, I knew nobody. And I feel like I was just trying to make community anywhere. I got involved in a church, which was great because I had believers there. But just like out and about, the friends that I would meet, not necessarily Christians. And then when I moved back to Nashville, I was working at a school. And I feel like the people in my community in that season of life were not walking with the Lord. And funny enough, it's like that was the people I was surrounding myself with. And that's kind of what I started doing. And I wouldn't say I walked away from faith, but I mean, I was out on Broadway. That was that season of life, like early 20s. I was just going downtown a lot. I was, you know, drinking more than I should. I was looking for attention from guys. And I just was not living holy. I was not striving for holiness. I was not living right. So I think it depends. I think it's so important. It depends on where you are and who you're surrounding yourself with to be in that kind of place. I was not in a place at that point to only have non-believer friends. And not that I didn't. I mean, I still had my Core Four. I still had other believers in my life, but it's like I was not investing the same amount of time in them. It was just like they were there. And I was really investing in these friends who did not know the Lord. And as a result, it brought me down. And so it's like, I think there is a time and a place to be with people who have different beliefs and values. Absolutely. But you also have to still be pour into others. Like you still have to have that core, that foundation, or else you can become a part of the world so easily. And like that, that is part of it for me. And so I remember I just was like, I have to get out of this season. I was living in East Nashville, just in a not great place. So I moved down to Franklin. I was around my family who are believers. I was back with my high school girlfriends, just like surrounded in this godly community. It's when I started working at Ramsey, a Christian organization. And I was like, I just got to get back on my feet. Like I got to just like know who I am and like be surrounded by people who can pour into me and remind me of that. So I felt like I went through the season where the only people I was surrounded by were Christian. And I was like, this is great. I feel better. This is good. And then I'm like, but this is not what I'm called to. Like, I'm called to be around people who are not believers so I can show them the love of Jesus, so I can tell them who God is. And so it's like, how do I find that balance of being in the world but not of the world? And so I think it's really important to be in community with people who are not believers so we can be a light to them, so we can show them God's love, so we can invest and do ministry and whatever that looks like. And also we have got to be involved in the church. We've got to have our community, our friends who are believers, our female friendships that know the Lord. Like that's so, so important. So kind of a tangent, but I think that's just my story of times where I've been around people who are believers and not. And I think navigating, what was the second part of Christian? You were like talking about navigating.
Like with moments, like for example, let's say you have a friend that, this is all hypothetical. Let's say you have a friend that chooses to date somebody who doesn't love Jesus, and they're now sleeping with them, and you're watching them go down a path. This is where I think it gets tricky, because as believers and as godly people, we, you know, you see somebody slip away from the Lord one moment at a time. It doesn't happen all at once. So how I struggle right now in a season of really craving, I've got my pillars, my people, my godly people, my inputs are really strong. I'm prioritizing my inputs because I'm giving out so much with my job and stuff. But when you see somebody who is experiencing a moment where you differ in beliefs and values, that can become a pretty big pain point in a friendship. And I think we're called to tell them truth, like speak the truth, the truth, not a truth, speak the truth, mm-hmm, the Bible, mm-hmm, but still loving them, you know? And so I am curious, like, how do you navigate that? And I know you agree with me in like speaking the truth, but also like, have you had instances where it's just been difficult for you to differ in your values and beliefs in moments and
yeah,
with your girlfriends? And
yeah,
do you see a separation in your friendship? Like, do you see a lack of intimacy with those friends, mm-hmm, versus the, mm-hmm, friends that know and love Jesus?
Oh yeah. 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 I think one thing is I do have friends who are dating somebody who does not know the Lord, mm-hmm, and they are sleeping together, mm-hmm, but they're also not claiming to be a Christian. And mm-hmm, so if you're not a Christian, mm-hmm, you're not called to necessarily live the, like, walk the walk.
Yeah.
And so I have friends who I adore and they're finding their satisfaction and their joy. I mean, not real joy, but fake joy, their, yeah, temporary happiness,
yeah,
in sleeping around.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily my job. They're not my sister in Christ.
Right.
It's not my job to really call her out and be like, hey, you know, we're not supposed to do that. Or like, the Lord calls us to a higher standard. Like, that's not my role to her if she's not choosing to walk, mm, with the Lord. But because I do, because I know the reason we're not supposed to do those, mm-hmm, things is not because it's like a, you know, angry, fiery God who's going to like strike you down, but it's, right, because he knows what's best for us. And what's best for us is giving our body to one man, mm-hmm, within the bounds of marriage. Mm-hmm. And so because of that, I can share what I know about Jesus and what Jesus says
good.
That's about
good.
Love. But to her, again, if she's not a Christian, mm-hmm, then she's not called that way. I can still share what my beliefs are. And I have amazing friends who are not Christian, mm-hmm, and I can, and they let me talk about my faith and I talk about my faith, mm-hmm, and I'll be like, yeah, I'm not doing this because I feel like the Lord has called me to this. Or yeah, I feel like this is really important and what I'm looking for in a man. And I know that that's not what she's doing.
Yeah.
And that's okay. But I think like, I hope to plant seeds and let her hear why I have so much joy, why I'm, mm-hmm, strong in purity, because I haven't always been strong in purity, but like I am because the Lord is helping me do
that's
that.
Good.
But I think it's a whole nother story when it is somebody who I know is a believer and who is not, mm-hmm, making choices that we're called to.
Yeah.
Because I've been there and I have needed girlfriends to look at me and be like, Sarah, mm-hmm, like those times I was living in Nashville, Sarah, like this is not who you are, mm-hmm, or Sarah, we're not called to this, mm, or hey, it seems like you're looking for temporary pleasures. Like,
yeah,
that's not going to satisfy. Like, you're looking in all the wrong places. Mm-hmm. And so I think for friends who are believers, it is kind of a different call out, yeah, of how to do that though with grace and,
yes,
love and understanding. But yeah, I do think it's our job as sisters in Christ to call each other out. And you've done that for me.
Yeah.
And I've confessed to you, yeah, at times of things I've done being like, Kenzie, SOS, I have, mm, to tell you something I did. Mm. Like, I literally remember doing that this summer and just being like, I need to confess something, mm, and I need to tell, I already told God, I've cried to him, I've journaled, but I need to tell somebody else. Mm. And I told you, and you literally looked at me and smiled and said, I love you. And I was like, what? You're like, yeah, that's not great, but I love you.
Yeah.
Thank you,
yeah,
for telling me, yeah, you're fine, you're forgiven, you're loved.
Yeah.
I was like, okay.
Thank you. And that's just like, and I know, and you've done that for me. And like, I just feel there's just a different, I guess I could say the word, yeah, intimacy, a, mm-hmm, different level of intimacy,
yeah,
with your godly women
who
know God. Like,
yeah.
And I have had to really adjust my expectations, honestly, with my friends that don't, because I can't expect them to love me the way that my godly girlfriends love me.
Yeah.
And I cannot be upset at them for not being able to do that.
Yeah.
Because they're not connected to the vine. They're not going to understand forgiveness or grace or, you know, all the things that I feel like I obviously get to see and experience with my godly girlfriends. So I feel so, yeah, so blessed with the women that I have.
What would you say, like, what does accountability look like, accountability specifically, in godly female friendships? And then how can that be done with grace and not judgment?
That's such a good question.
Or like condemnation.
I think accountability, I think it looks, in a godly female friendship, accountability looks like calling each other up and speaking the truth I think our world just lives on the latest and greatest and what's the newest and, well, I feel like this, or I'm going to try this. And we just like flop around like the wind. And it's like, well, this mm-hmm. guy, you know, he's really great and he's really good to me. But if he doesn't know Jesus and you do, I'm going to tell you that that's not okay.
How do you do that? That's not what you want. How do you say that?
Well, oh, it's hard. 'Cause I'm also like, I'm not afraid of conflict by any means, but I am a very gentle human, I would say. Like, mm-hmm. I just don't come guns a-blazing. I really mm-hmm. try to listen. I think what's hard for me is because there's been situations like this one specifically where it's like back in my 20s, well, he's a really good guy.
Yeah.
And he, like, you know, he has faith.
Yes.
So it's hard for me specifically when I watch friends or people make mistakes that I've made because I know how that ends.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm like, oh, I just don't want you to have to walk down the path that I walked, you know?
Yeah.
But what I try to do is always just be an observer and I always try to listen. So that's a great way to start of like, mm-hmm. just hear what they have to say, hear about the guy, be supportive in a way of like, hear your friend. She's excited. She's met a guy. Awesome.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then I try to, it's actually funny that we're talking about this. I've been in a situation very recently where I just spoke of the things that I noticed that I really liked about this gentleman. He was really sweet to her and really good to mm-hmm. her, and she's really excited. And I want to be someone, I want to always be that person that she comes to mm-hmm. for the good and for the bad.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also just got to say, you know how I really feel.
Because and is he not a believer?
He's not a believer.
And she is?
And she is.
Okay.
And he doesn't know Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
He just doesn't know Jesus. And I don't understand how, with you knowing Jesus and him not. But nonetheless, it's her decision, and mm-hmm. I told her, it's your decision.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard because, yeah, like, I've walked down that path before. I've had somebody say that to me, and I'm just like, but he, you know, and I was young. And,
but he's great.
But he's great.
Like, he's cute.
He's so cute, and he's yeah. so good to me, and I've never felt so. And that those are all wonderful things. You can meet wonderful people. There are wonderful people out there that don't know Jesus, but mm-hmm. I think accountability is key. I think accountability in purity is really important. Mm-hmm. You know, my best friend and I are very, she's in a relationship right now. I'm single, so it's not really a concern for me. but for her, we have very open dialogue about it, and we pray for each, I pray for her specifically mm. For her relationship and for them to continue to walk obedient to the Lord when it comes to their purity. Mm. And I think it's really important to have an accountability partner, like a direct accountability partner.
And so maybe even talk about, yeah, what does that look like? What does accountability look like in female friendships? How do y'all specifically do that?
Mm. Well, we're very honest and open. Like, I tell Kenna and I tell you, like, everything.
Yeah.
And Kenna tells, well, I'm just calling her out, but she tells me everything.
Yeah.
And I know she's got godly women in Austin, too, that she talks to. So I think, again, it goes back to having those godly people. And mm-hmm. again, you when you are open and honest with each other, it's how iron will continue to sharpen iron. If I want to become a better person, I just can't tell my friends all the good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I also am a terrible liar. Mm-hmm. I can't fake it. I'm mm-hmm. very honest and authentic. And I want to be able to share, like I've been sharing some fears with you specifically about yeah. just like my struggle with continuing to have courage to hope and the fears that I have. And just being able to tell you these things that may feel silly,
mm-hmm.
but then for you to speak truth into that. So I think accountability literally has to start with like raw honesty and
yeah, that's good.
Never make somebody ever feel shameful about that.
That's good.
You know, if they come to you and they're like, hey, I messed up here physically, or I have this really ugly thought, or mm-hmm. this is what I'm believing right now. And I know I told you the other day that I'm like feeling this way. And then now I'm like, man, the enemy's I think really gotten hold. And then that way, when you can go to your sister in that and she can come back and say, here's what I know is true.
Mm-hmm.
It's fighting the enemy. And
yeah.
it's like covering, it's double down and covering each other in prayer.
Yeah.
And that's why I just think like what to your point, I think we are called to be, no, not I think, I know we are called mm-hmm. to be disciples of all nations and love people that don't love the Lord. But the thing that I've learned over the course of my life is to be very intentional about who I share what with.
Yeah. Yeah.
And to hold the friendships that don't have the same beliefs and values very loosely, because a lot of times like things could go awry and I've had friends walk away from me And I didn't understand it, but they didn't know the Lord. They didn't want to fight for that friendship or walk through it or talk through it. So mm-hmm. I think accountability just comes down to being honest and being open and being raw with each other and loving each other no matter what.
And something you just said made me think about this, like an accountability partner who is morally aligned with
yes,
you, like
has
values,
to be.
Faith, because mm-hmm. I can go to some girlfriends. I know the girlfriends I can mm-hmm. get to and tell them things. And they're mm-hmm. like, that's awesome. How was it? Mm-hmm. Like, oh my gosh, are you going to go out with him again? Like, he's so cute. He has this, he has that. Mm-hmm. And I know that they will encourage me in this. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yeah. I'm going to go out another day. Mm-hmm. It was so fun. Mm-hmm. We did this. We went to, you know, mm-hmm. and then I know that I can go to you and tell you the exact same story. And you're mm-hmm. like, Sarah, why are you going out with him? He doesn't treat you right. Mm-hmm. He doesn't love the Lord. Mm-hmm. He's not your guy, you mm-hmm. know? And it's just like, so who your accountability partner is,
yeah.
I think really matters, because we can find the right people to tell us what we want to hear.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And I have certain people that I'm like, I know I can tell, and they mm-hmm. will just hype me up no matter what I'm doing
yeah.
and support me. But I'm like, that's not accountability.
No.
Like, I need somebody to look at me and be like, Sarah, that's not it.
Yeah,
that's
not
who you are.
It's discipleship.
This is not who the Lord has for you. Mm-mm.
It's an easy, that's the easy life.
Yeah.
That's like the easy road. And I've done that. I know exactly who to go to when I knew in my gut that what I was doing wasn't right. But he's such a good guy. Again, back in my mm-hmm. 20s, where I was just like, he's a really good person. Yeah, like, you can date a really good person.
Yeah.
But if you want to follow Jesus mm-hmm. and you claim to be a follower of Jesus, it is your responsibility to surround yourself and invest and cling to the people that are going to tell you things you don't want to hear.
Yeah.
We can manipulate it till we're blue in the face, mm-hmm. but like, I don't want a life like that.
Yeah.
No. And you can always tell in your gut when you're justifying it. Like, I can tell when my friends, like, they know I'm going to tell them what I think. And so a lot of times they just don't really start. They stop telling me stuff, and I'm like, mm-hmm. okay, I know. And like, I can't force them to tell me anything. Mm-hmm. They know I'll be there for them when it falls and fails and they get hurt. But until then, it's like, okay, I can't force you, but
yeah,
you know, like in your mm-hmm. gut, you're like, I'm justifying this. And yeah, I think also it comes with life experience. You and I both just being at our age now and walking through the things that we've walked through, we're just like, yeah, we just know how we want to do it. We want to do it the Jesus way. Mm-hmm. The only way.
The only way.
The only way.
Yeah.
Yeah. And on this topic too, it's so wild. I got a voice memo from a friend, and she was asking for some prayer, and it was on female friendships while I was driving down to record
really?
With you. And I was like, okay, Lord, we are on the right track. And so this is actually something I told her in my voicemail back, was that I have experienced. And so she basically was just saying, hey, like, I feel like I need to step back or away from this one friendship. She doesn't know the Lord the way that I do. And she's really negative. And I feel like I always feel really bad when I leave time with her. And, you know, what do I do? And I just feel like it's time to end the friendship. And I listened, and I know both of these people. So I was like, oh gosh, this is so on point, because I understand what she's going through. So some of the things that I just told her were like, first and foremost, there is going to be a different level of intimacy, like I've said earlier in this podcast, of friendship, and like with somebody that loves the Lord and somebody that doesn't love mm-hmm. the Lord.
Yeah.
And I told her we're called to. And this is a friend that is like so on fire for Jesus. She's newer to faith. And so I just said, we're called to make disciples of all nations. So I want you to guard your heart and just know that there are certain things, kind of like what I said earlier, that you can't tell, or you can tell, but know that you can't expect godly biblical wisdom back. Mm. And so the way that I've had to adjust my expectations is just adjusting what I tell people. And that's hard for me, because I like to share everything. I wear my heart on my sleeve, but I've had to learn, okay, using discernment on who you share what with, and not holding bitterness or frustration or anger towards the people that you can't share that with, that you once could, because it's not fair to them that they can't hold that space for you. They don't know how. They were never taught. They don't know the Lord. And if they do kind of know the Lord, but they're not in a place where you want to be, that's okay. But I do think that we have different types of friendships. And I mm-hmm. think different friendships have different strengths and different weaknesses. But I do think we're called to not cut people out, just because they don't love the Lord, but right. I think you can guard your heart from them. Mm. And the way that you do that is just be selective in what you share.
Absolutely.
You know, and don't expect them and don't be mad at them.
Yeah.
Because they don't tell you something that you want to hear, or you feel like worse when you leave them than when you were with them. I would say that's probably an indicator that you spend less time with them.
Yeah.
But they probably also an indicator that they need you in their life. They need your light. They need your love. They need. So kind of knowing, hey, when you go in with that friendship, maybe you're the one that's giving the advice. Maybe you're the one that's pouring out, and that's exhausting. Mm-hmm. So make sure that you protect your heart in that. Have very loose expectations, love them like the Lord would, and then make sure that you're going to people where you can have really solid inputs and you're being poured back in.
Yeah, that's
and if you're
so
not
good.
Doing that, you're going to feel very depleted, and then you're going to have nothing to give, and you're going to be frustrated. And I can say, because I've been there.
That's so good. So, and I think I use this a lot with my life coaching clients. It's like, okay, think about your circles. Like we have circles of friends, and this was something I had to learn too. It's like, when I was in college, I played soccer. Mm-hmm. I was in nursing school, so I had that whole community. And I was in a sorority, and I had that whole group of girls. Mm-hmm. I had so many friends. Mm-hmm. And then I still was keeping up with friends in high school and my middle school friends. And I just like felt like my world was so big. Mm-hmm. And so my circle was so big. And I was like, I'm trying to be a good friend to all these people. And I'm trying to keep up with all these people and do all these things and know everything about their life. But then I'm missing everybody's birthdays because it's everybody's birthday every day.
Yeah,
like, you know,
a lot.
And it's just like, I don't know how to be a good friend.
Yeah.
And I realized the big circle. So like, think about, there's three layers of circles, and this outer circle is all these people that I know. It's the people mm-hmm. that I see at work, at school, at sorority, whatever it was, all those is that big circle of friends. Mm-hmm. And I'm nice to them, and I know their name, and they know my name, and I'm going to ask how their week was. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be intentional when I'm with them in that moment. Mm-hmm. But outside of that, like, that's exhausting and depleting. Yeah. I can't do that with everybody.
No.
And then I have this middle circle. They know who I'm dating. They know what's going on. They know the highs and lows. They know me fairly well, mm-hmm. but then this inner circle, and mm-hmm. it's like this inner. And I think in that middle circle too, oftentimes is you can have friends who are non-believers as well, but it's like in that inner circle, like you mm-hmm. said, that's where the intimacy happens, the accountability, the deep, deep friendship. That's the ones that I'm telling you the details of what happened on the date. I'm telling you the details of what the enemy is lying to me about in my mm-hmm. head. I'm telling you the hopes, the dreams, the failures, and everything mm-hmm. to detail. That way you can look at me and say like, hey, Sarah, that's not true. Or hey, Sarah, let me remind you of who you are.
Yeah.
And if I were to do that and tell all of those things to that massive big group, one, I'm exhausted. Two, they don't need to know all of that.
No.
And it's just like, it's spreading myself so thin. So and so thin. It's like an exercise I'll do with girls is like, put your people in your circles
and say
who is in the front row, who is in the inner circle.
Yeah.
And honestly, sometimes it's three people.
It's
very
normal.
It's two or three people. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, and I think the middle circle, it can be, you know, 5 to 7 people. Mm-hmm. And then that big circle is everybody else.
Yeah.
And knowing where people go. And so it's like, maybe your girlfriend who sent you that voice memo had somebody in her inner mm-hmm. circle who maybe just needs to go a row back.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
I love that visualization is so good, because I think we as women can be so hard on ourselves about not being able to keep up with all these people, and like, we're not meant to. Mm-hmm. And to know the vulnerability and intimacy of my heart is not only a privilege, but it's also something that I hold very sacred, and I don't want to just give it out freely. And I used to, and I, like you said, I used to feel really exhausted. And so I think I have, there's maybe three or four women that know the intimate details of my heart. It's like you, my mom, my mentor, Kenna, you know, and maybe like one or two others that like, but again, they don't really hear everything because I'm a big believer, and it's not because I don't love them any less. It's a different type of love, and it's a different type of expectation. And I think for me, the women that I am telling everything to, it's like, I look to them and I go, okay, I want to be more like you, you know, and we have the same values and beliefs, and that doesn't make me any better than anybody that I don't share those things with. It just makes me different, and it makes me wanting a different type of life.
Yeah.
And so I think holding that with a lot of grace for the people that aren't there yet, because I think also remembering like, I was once 26 and living worldly in a relationship or doing this and that. And I want to be able to be somebody that women can come to on the other side of whatever they're walking through and being like, oh, I wish I would have done differently. It's like, yeah, me too at the time.
Yeah.
But now I'm here. Yeah. So let's walk through that together. So
that's good.
Yeah. It's navigating that though is it's hard.
Yeah.
It's
when really I hard. Too, like with girls, there can always be girl drama. Mm-hmm. There's like, I think what are hard things that you hear or have experienced that are hard in friendships? Cause I know, I think jealousy.
Yeah.
Comparison.
Yeah.
Miscommunication, competition, like those are things I think of top of mind of what makes friendships hard.
Yeah.
And how do we overcome that? And what do we do in that? Have you experienced that?
Yeah. Yeah. No, definitely. So I experienced a lot of like jealousy and competition a lot younger, I feel like. Mm. Like in high school, I was bullied in high school. I was bullied in middle school by girls. Oh, yeah. Girls are mean. It was mostly because, I mean, you learn it kind of, my mom would always be like, it's because they're jealous. And it was usually like the boy that they liked me. And so it's funny how I can remember the person's like first and last name and what they were doing because the boy that she liked me and they were like throwing tar at me at the playground and like
tar.
Yeah. It was the principal's daughter too.
And where do you get tar?
Our playground instead of gravel was like bits of tar. It was terrible.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
I experienced a lot of that younger and I think nowadays I watch it. I know the Lord has given me a heart of just like pure joy for my friends who are getting the thing I desire the most.
Oh my gosh. I see that in you.
It's just been such a sweet, sweet thing that he's given me. And I then have to make sure that I have a heart for the people that are experiencing jealousy. But it is hard for me because I'm like, how can we be jealous of this, of our friend getting the thing that we love that, or that she's been praying for and desiring. Mm-hmm. So I think I see a lot of jealousy in women that are watching their friends meet people and meet their people that they're dating that turns into their fiance and their husband. Mm-hmm. And they go, well, what about me? And I want to like shake them and be like, your turn's coming, but let's celebrate them, you know? Mm-hmm. So I haven't experienced jealousy in my, like my heart has not been jealous for my friends that are getting engaged and getting married, which is truly from the Lord because it makes no sense for me to not have jealousy for that. I have a
but
joy.
But you're such a celebrator of people too. Yeah. Like I think that is who you are.
Yeah.
But
it's
the Lord.
No, it's true.
The Lord's
working you. It is the Lord. And I think the way that to combat the jealousy is just to go, man, like it will be your turn one day. Mm. And like, don't you want those people to clap for you when it's your turn? Mm-hmm. Like it will be your turn and we can't all get the same thing at the same time.
Yeah.
But I think unfortunately women are so competitive with each other based on look and boys and what they do for a living. I don't think it's as much about money. I think guys are maybe more competitive with, you know, money and who makes more money. I think girls, it's like who's dating who and what you physically look like. And it's really sad. And I've lost friends over it because I think jealousy can just eat away at your heart.
Yeah.
And it can destroy thief of joy. Yeah. And it's been hard for sure. But I do know it's possible to combat that jealousy with just like taking your eyes off yourself and going like, oh my gosh, praise God that she's found that person.
That's it right there. That's the key, is take your eyes off yourself and see. Yeah.
See.
And be able to celebrate where they are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't take that moment from them because you're so focused on the fact that like, well, there's another friend that's now not going to be single with me. It's like, well, guess what? If you have the Lord, like you should never feel lonely, in my opinion. Like you're going to have moments of loneliness. I have moments of loneliness where I'm very aware that I'm single. But it is possible to have a posture where you're like, okay, Lord, I know you've got, you're saving someone extra special for me. Mm-hmm. And you have to think that even when you don't feel it a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Because the worst thing I think could happen is you regret not having more joy for your friend who deserves to be celebrated.
Because you're so focused on yourself.
Because you're so focused on yourself. It's a terrible way to live and it's only going to affect you and it's only going to affect your days.
Yeah.
You know, and like, wouldn't you rather be so overjoyed for your friend and like, it's going to make your life better if you're loving on them. And then again, like, wait, it's going to be your turn one day. And don't you want to be like, love how you would want to be loved, like how you would want to be celebrated, like go to the ends of the earth for that person, for their bachelorette, their bridal shower, all the wedding festivities, like they get to do this one time. So, and your turn's coming, but you know, God sees that too. Like, and he will honor that, you know? Mm-hmm. So yeah, jealousy can eat away, but we can combat that very easily just by the posture of our hearts, I believe.
That's good.
That's a great question. So question, because we're talking about godly relationships and friendships, how do we cultivate deeper God-centered friendships, would you say?
I mean, I think so much of what you said, the intimacy and vulnerability, openness, finding that community. I mean, I guess I think about the friends I have who are my deepest, closest friends. They're all believers, wanting to be more like Jesus, striving for holiness in the same arena as each other, with fighting for the same things, whether single or married. Because some of my very best friends, like Jacqueline is one of my very best friends, and she's married and doesn't change, you know. Brittany, Anna, like all those core four girls I was talking about, they're all some of my very best friends, and they're married, with a couple of them have kids. But I think the reason we're so close is because we get together and it's just like, what's the Lord teaching you? Like, what's going on in your life? And I think when we talk about what the Lord is doing there, I don't know. I guess it's just there's that intimacy that we talked about.
The Lord. Praying, I feel like.
Praying together, yeah.
You've been so amazing. Just like, I know you've been covering me in prayer and vice versa. And I think that's a huge thing that I'm also learning in this season of like, okay, I'm just going to cover them in prayer. And like, Ken and I are also we are in different, not only different cities, but she's in a serious relationship. And like you said, it doesn't have to change. It's the Lord and like what we're actually talking about and what God's teaching us. And prayer has like been such a great way too. But I love what you said about just like having that intimacy and going deeper and asking biblical godly questions.
And creating the space to be intentional, because I think about Brittany, she's somebody I see every single week because we're in a Bible study together. And so we get to go deeper. But like, if we didn't do that and didn't have the time, like you have to create time. She has three kids.
Yeah.
She has to be intentional about, is her husband home? Can he watch them? Sometimes she and I will meet up before to have some time before we meet with group, you know, and it's just like having to find that time. And then I'll tell her things and then she's not afraid to push the button and ask one more deeper question.
Oh, that's good.
Like I'll say something and she's like, okay, so what are the actual details? What happened?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I just told you. So she's good. Like, but like, how far did you go?
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, you know, like,
oh, but she's going there.
To know she's going to ask. And I'm so comfortable telling her that. You know, and then I'll tell her like, I'm not going to talk to this guy again. And she's like, okay. And then next week, so have you talked to him? And I'm like, well, yes. She's like, Sarah, you know, like she's just not afraid of those things. Something that happened last month, we were talking about word of the month and we were encouraging each other. And she was like, I've never really done that. I need accountability with it. I was like, okay, well, let's think right now. What are you going through?
Love.
What is the Lord teaching you?
So good, sir.
And so it's like in that moment, we're like, okay, well, let's call each other out. What is it? And she was like, you need to follow up with me. Like, I need to find a verse that, you know, to put with my word to like really be praying and like studying that scripture. I'm like, okay. 2 days later, I text her. So Britt, what's your verse? She was like, okay. And she sends me what she's been reading
so
in the Bible.
Good.
And it's like, we have to push that button.
Yes.
Like dig deeper. And
yes.
She's somebody that like, I will dig, and I know she'll dig with me too. To have people like that in our lives that we're intentional about, and she's somebody that's close in my life proximity, so I'm able to do that with. Like you, I see you all the time. I do that with you. And then I have friends who I don't see all the time, but Jacqueline, Summer, those are two of my girlfriends in other states, you know, Logan, I'm able to call up or send a video message or have that intentional time to say what's really going on.
Yeah. I love that because it is possible, even if your best friend doesn't live in the same city or the ones that you're feeling really close to don't live here. It's like, well, then you just have to be extra intentional.
Yeah,
you know,
totally.
And there's a way to do it. There's always a way to keep those friendships close, even if it looks a little bit different, you know. But I really feel like if there are godly women in your life and you're blessed to have them, like just dive deeper.
Yeah.
Make the effort. It's so worth it. And if you're looking for that, church is a great place to start.
Yeah.
Get involved in a house church or a Bible study or a small group. Or,
that's such good advice.
You know, reach out to somebody and get one-on-one time with them. I mean, there's so many ways to do it. And women, we love to talk. So just take them a coffee and literally, like go on a friend date, you know?
I think that's such a good, that's so good. And I remember when I moved back here, like I said, you came out of nowhere. Praise the Lord. Thank goodness. Like I had you. But it's like, I remember I also found my friend Madeline, who I've shared about. Like I found her on social media, on Instagram. And I knew she loves fitness. She loves the Lord. She was single. I could tell she was dating a guy, but not married. And I was like, I want to be her friend. And I'm
so
like,
cool.
I literally asked her out. I was like,
hey, I love it. Literally.
Do you want to go on a walk or get coffee? And we get together, bam, we're like instantly talking about healthy eating, no seed oils, like just like all this in common. And it was so fun. And it is kind of like, we laugh talking about our first hangout was like a first date of just the way.
But it is.
Yeah. And sometimes you kind of find who are those people that are walking the walk mm-hmm. and that I want to get to know and reach out, be intentional, invest.
Yep.
And somebody has to be the first one to be vulnerable to share what's going on. And then I think time and experience strengthens those relationships.
Yeah. No, I love that.
Well, I think female friendships are so important, and I'm glad we talked about this today, because I think there's so much to female friendships, and they can be hard and they can also be one of the greatest. They are one of the greatest gifts that the Lord.
They're worth fighting for.
Worth fighting for.
Yeah. So and good.
Remember Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, one person sharpens another.
Mm, so good.
Friendships are such a gift, so important to invest in. We're not meant to do life alone. Let's be intentional in our friendships, invest deeply, and as always, remember,
even if he is still